All right, so we'll start at the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, and continuing in the Nedarim tradition, because the language is less than easy to understand here, but we'll try to make our way through it. So it says Eitavei, who the question on? It seems all the Rishonim here said the question's on Rava. Rava on yesterday's daf suggested that if you are say Kikari Alecha, that you cannot give it as a gift. I mean, if you say Kikari Alecha, then he said Pshita, that Matana, he says Matana would be Surah. Right, so based on that, and the Gemara now is asking on Rava, because they're going to cover the case where you see that giving it as a Matana is going to be okay. So that's what the eighth day is here.
Who said it was Surah again?
Yesterday's daf, we remember they queried when we had Kikari Alecha, whether that is a matana okay or not okay. Then the Marseille says, Amalei Pshita. Right? After they asked Rava what it is, he said, Pshita, Da'avga Di'avalei Matana Asur. That was Rava's answer. And the Gemara had other challenges, or not challenges, depending on which of the Rishonim you learn. But Rava's first statement was that it was Pshita, that you could not give it as a gift when you said Kikari Alecha.
What was the Sfarah that it was Pshita?
Just for the Pshita, because then what else is Kikari coming to? Right? Alecha means everything, and then Kikari has to do something.
Even
for example. So, so the Gemara says, Eitvei Amarlo, Hishilani Paratcha, right? It says, lend me your para. Amarlo, Kone Para, Shani Kone Lecha. Right, so, first of all, it either sounds like this para is asur to you, meaning that I can't give you this part. I need this part. Can't give it to you. Then, Nechsei Alecha, my possessions are asur to you. And Yeshli Para Elazu. And if, aside from this, if I have any other para besides this one, then my possessions are all asur to you. So, I mean that he has two different, it's kind of like two statements. One statement is that this para you want to borrow, I need it, that is asur to you. Number two is, just so you know, I don't have any other parot. This is the only parot I have. And therefore, if I have any more parot, I guess to strengthen his position, he's saying, if I have any more parot, then all my possessions are asur to you. Next one is, Amarlo, so Hishilani Kadumech, lend me your, it's called, spade, or hatchet, right? Amarlo, Koneim, Kardum, or Yeshli, Ani Kanui, sounds similar to what we had above, which is that, first of all, there's no, this Kardum, right, is restricted to you, and because I need it, and number two is that Nichsei Alai, my possessions will be also to me, if you leave the gears to this way, right, Nichsei Alai, Im Yeshli Kardum. If I have a kardum besides this one. Okay? And then, what happens? V'nimsa sheishlo. So then they find out, it turns out he does have another paro, or he does have another kardum. So he's triggered the nether, right? Because he said, if I have another one, this is the case. So this triggers the nether. So Gemara says, b'chayav asur, right? As long as he's alive, it's asur. Mate. Oshinit alobim matana, harizim mutar. If he dies, or he gives it with a present, then it's mutar. So first of all, in the case of mate, where he dies, right? The reason that mate works here is because it's not his par anymore, it's not his kardum anymore, and it's not his possessions anymore. And therefore, the nether falls apart. And the same thing with a gift. Right, if he gives it as a gift, it's no longer his. And since it's no longer his, it's not paratcha, it's not nichsai, it's excluded from all those terms that have possession, his possession in them. So this would be the question on Rava, because Rava said yesterday, when you say kikari alecha, right, even when you say kikari, my kikar, nevertheless, the matana would be asur. That's what Rava said, pshita, that matana is asur. And over here, we see what? That it says, mate, hoshinit alo matana, harizeh mutar. You can give it as a gift. So, amar of acha, breder of ika, shinit alo ayudeyacher. That he gave it to him through a third party.
After he died?
No, this is before he died. This is the Nisalo Matana. Right, the Matana case. How do we solve that for Rabbo? That it won't be a conflict with Rabbo's position. We say that the gift that's mentioned here is not a direct gift, but an indirect gift. It's given through someone else. And even though in the end he gets Hanoah, but since it's not mine anymore and it went through a third party, that's not considered gifting of my stuff to you or Hanoah from my stuff to you, because whoever owns it in between ends my possession over it. And even Rava would agree to that, that when it's someone else's possession in the way, then it's okay. But it says, Dekanami. Right? Amarashi, Dekanami. Ravashi says you can infer this from the Mishnah, Dektani, Shinitnalo, Veloktani, Shinatnalo. It says, Nitna, that it was given to him, but not, lo, notnalo, that, not that he gave it to him, but rather that it was given to him. Right? Because had it wanted to say that the Mashil, right, the lender, gave it to the borrower, right, it would have said, Natnalo, he gave it to him. When it says Mishnah, when the Brisa says nitnalo means it was given to him, not by one of the parties in the Brisa, but through a third party.
If you look up on top, it says shenasna.
Oh, so that's what the Ron says here.
Shenasna wouldn't make sense because
natnalo.
It would be shenatan.
Right.
So that's even with that here, it's probably shenitna.
So that's the Ron says. This is an interesting Ron here. It says, Dekanami, Shiktani, Shinitnu Lo. If you look right across where we are in the Gemara, it says, Dekanami, in the Ron. You see that? Klomar. Shukach Haita Kabbalah Adam. This was a Mesorah to them. Likrotz, Nitnu Bechirik. Afopi, like you were saying, Tzvi, Shein Bektiva Shum Hefresh. That above, it's written, Natna or Nitna, right? You can't tell from the Nikud, without Nikudot, you wouldn't be able to know. So therefore, how do you know it's Nitna? That he says is a Misora. And that's why, I mean, in the second case, in our case over here, when it says Dekanami, it's written with a Yud. It's Nitna. That's how you could show it. But even though it's a cream.
Yeah, if it were he gave it to him, it would be Shinatala. Would be Shinatala.
Yeah, but it's talking about the item. So, I don't know. The Gemara uses that, but many times uses the term Natna. No. It was. Alright.
As in the Mapigay, Shinatana. Natana.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, that would make sense, right? Alright. So that's the end of that little piece of Gemara. And Leinyan Halacha, right? The Ran brings down Leinyan Halacha, just continuing where we are in the Ran. Kaimalon, Afagav Diaveni Alei B'matana Asur. You cannot give a directed gift. Tahachi Pashatle Rova. First of all, that's what Rova said on the previous daf. Asikna Dekanami. And we say that the price also sounds like that. And not only is if you gift it, is it asur, but even if you buy it from even if the mudarana buys it from him, that is one reason. Right. If it goes through a third party, it will be okay, because that's the way the Gemara over here makes the kimta.
That time is circumvention, is zilzul nidarim.
Alright, so we had that gzeira above that. That the Gemara has the gzeira because of chasna, when someone restricted their someone getting hanoah from them, and then he had asered his son getting any benefit from him. Then his son got married, and he wanted to make a chasna for him, so he couldn't because his possessions were all asered to his son. So then he said he gifted all of his stuff to a third party. And that third party was going to make the chasna. He wanted the third party to make the chasna. So the third party went ahead and was makdish it. Says, well, the guy said, I didn't give it to you to be makdish. He says, well, then you didn't really, right, then you really didn't give it to me. And I don't want to, on my cheshbon, I don't want you and your son to be celebrating at the party that because to circumvent the nether on my cheshbon. So he said that you really didn't gift it. If you didn't really gift it, then you can't. Then you're not really circumventing the nether. So that's one, the Gemara talks about that case. And then the Gemara says there's a gzeira, that there is, those that believe that there is a gzeira to that case, meaning that you're not allowed to do these haramas because we're afraid that you won't gift it with your full heart. So I'm saying technically, the circumvention would work. Right? Technically, if it was done properly, it should work. And that's because it's truly not yours anymore. Mm. Problem is, what we're choshish for is whether you were really doing it with your full heart. Mm. Right? The same, the bittul issues that we have with chametz and other places where, right, if it's done right, it works. The question is if you're really doing it right. Yeah, if it's done right, it should work because it's an ownership issue. And if you eliminate your ownership, then there's nothing. The netter is just really not chal. I mean, that it won't be. That's
isn't that totally parallel to the case from yesterday, though? Because in the case from yesterday, we had, at least according to some of the approaches, the kikari alecha question was also whether it was dafka this object. And if it's this object, then it doesn't matter whether it's yours anymore.
Right. Well, the Gemara said Iluyu. No, that's the Gemara said yes. Iluyu makes sense that it's usur no matter what. Then the Gemara wants to know what did kikari do then, if that's the case. Even if you say that Iluyu is the ikar, what does kikari do? Now Rava said like you. Rava says that Iluyu means on him, and that's it, and there's nothing to talk about. It's you can't give him matana. The later opinions, depending which of the Rishonim you learned, like right, believe that they asked, well, even if you say Iluyu, what does kikari do? And the Ron's conclusion was that opinion that was arguing on Rava suggested you could give it b'matana in the end. The other Rishonim say no, but either way, the Ron's saying over here that Rava said basically you can't gift it directly, but you can't gift it through a third party. And then so he was asking if that's okay. He said that it works from a technical standpoint. The question is whether it goes there to stop people from doing this because it's not such a simple thing to, if a person can really give you with a full heart, or they're doing it just to circumvent the halacha. Right. Rabba had a question, Rav Nachman. This is something we discussed throughout the Nedarim. It's brought up by the Ran and others throughout the Nedarim. Yesh mi'ila b'konamot olo. Mi'ila is a term that's used by hektish. Mi'ila is the term used for someone who got hana from hektish. Then he has to bring korban mi'ila, and he has to repay hektish for the value of the object that he got benefit from. So that is simple to understand in the context of hektish. The Gemara here is asking whether mi'ila has application even by nidorin, by konamot. Konaim, when you use the term karvan, the term hektish, does the neder take on a form of hektish? And therefore you will have mi'ila. In that if you actually benefit from this item, you'll have the equivalent of a mi'ila obligation here for violating the konamot.
You know, what konam means is that you're restricting it on yourself as if it were hektish. You're clearly not giving it to hektish.
Right, no, it's not hektish. It's not hektish. The question is, when you make it like hektish,
since you give it that status,
right, does that enough to make it into a mi'ila if you violate it? So Gemara Amalei said back to him, Rava, Tini Tua, we learned it in our Mishnah. Makom Shnoti Malei Aschar, Til Pel Hano LeHektish. Our Mishnah says, in the instance where he's restricted from getting Hano, right, where does the money go? In order for no one to get benefit from it, it goes to Hektish. Why should it go to Hektish? Lememra, Ki Hektish. Ma Hektish Yishbo Mila, Apkonama Yishben Mila. Shows you what, from our Mishnah, that it's just like Hektish. Just like hektish has mi'ila, so two konamot have mi'ila. So you say to me, what was the alternative? Meaning that if they're both, if he's usher by non, he's going to forgive. Remember yesterday it was the returner says, gives the object back to the balaveda. The balaveda says, you know, I got to pay you a schar, and he says, I don't want it because I really don't want it. So he forgives him. So the balaveda can't hold on to the money because he's usher in the possessions of the returner.
Right.
And, right? So right, exactly. So the Gemara uses
also,
in other places.
Also, you can be medayek. It says tipol hana lehektish, and it's not there yet.
Right.
It should.
Oh, I mean, the other way around.
In other words, so what is he saying here?
He's saying that the word the fact that it goes to hektish implies that there is some sense of hektish about it, because otherwise, what you could have you have done? He says that we have this in other places in the Gemara and Chas happens. In Chmuro and Me'ilo, in other places, Molich Hana the Yam HaMelech. And you take the Hana and you dump it in Yam HaMelech.
Yeah, so I'm saying that here it actually seems like it's not there yet.
Right, that's fair. Yeah, it's not hit there, but you're saying by that implication that it shouldn't have a status of Hektish yet. I mean, that Rava's diuk is that
it is.
It belongs to Hektish. Yes. And you're saying, well, Tzibol Hana Hektish means it doesn't belong to it. But I think he's saying that that because there is this Hana here, therefore it goes to Hektish.
Right.
Okay. All right, so now, Kitznai. So now, it's actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Right, so the Gemara says, this is Rav's answer was, from our Mishnah you see that Konamot have Mila. Then we say Kitznai, it's a Machlokas Tanoim. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Here, Rav asked Rav Nachman. That was Rav Nachman's answer. Kitznai, it's a Machlokas Tanoim. Konim Kikar Zu, right, Hekdesh, says that this Kikar will be Asur like Hekdesh, the Ochlov. Ben who, uben chavero, if he eats it, or his friend eats it, ma'al. They are moel. Lefikach, yeshba.
What does he say? He says, konam kikazu hektesh, or he says, konam kikazu?
No, konam kikazu hektesh.
Why does he have to say hektesh?
Because that's what he's being mapisit with, right? Konam kikazu hektesh, that's the hadpasa.
He said korban.
Right.
But he doesn't need, I mean, konam is...
Konam is like korban, no. That's what you're saying.
I mean, that, why, that's not necessary? Well, I guess for the second, you'll see in the second case. Okay. But it's in this case, it looks like hektish. Why? Because it's usher to you and to your friend. I mean, like, when you make something hektish, that ushers it to the whole world. So to over here, when he said, konim kikarzu hektish, you're not saying, you don't give any directed person about who it's usher, you're just saying it's like hektish, that it's usher to everyone. Therefore, if you eat it or your friend eat it, you're both restricted, and therefore, there is me'ila. And that the Mishnah Brice says, because of that, yesh la pidyon, you can redeem it. Meaning, because it's like hektesh, what can you do with hektesh? You can redeem it. So if it's a konamot, you can redeem it just like hektesh. Kikar zu alai lehektesh, or kikar zu alai hektesh, right? So this is in the case where you'll need it, because now there's no konim, okay? So he says, kikar zu alai hektesh.
Yeah, I guess in the first case, maybe that's what comes to make it general. If you just said konim kikar zu, you wouldn't know is it alai or not. So konim kikar zu hektesh.
It's on everyone. That's a good point. I think, yeah, good. That's very good. Alright, kikar zu alai hektesh, but achlahu, if he eats it, ma'al, then it's chayvim ila. Chavero, but if his friend eats it, lo ma'al. Why? Because he said kikar zu alai. So it was specifically on him, not to his friend. In that case, there is mi'ila, but it does not look like hektesh, because it's not usher to everyone. Therefore, lifikach in lapidjum, you cannot redeem it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chamimarmim, ben kach ben kach lo ma'al, fishem ila bekonamot. So it's pretty straightforward. Achalus Rabbi Meir and the Chamim, whether there is such thing as mi'ila by konamot, or in mi'ila but konamot. Amalei, Rav Acha, braid Rav Abi, Rav Ashi, kikari alecha, v'netzana lo b'matana. Says, kikari alecha, the same lesson that we had yesterday, right? Where he says, kikari alecha, then he gives it as a gift. Mima'al, so, is there mi'ila, or who has mi'ila here? Who is the mo'al? So the one says, limo notain, if you say mi'ila is from the giver, halo asira ele. What did he do? I mean, he's not restricted. He's the one who made the neder, but he's not restricted from getting benefit from this loaf of bread. Person restricted in getting hana from this loaf of bread is the receiver. So how can you say he's chayv in me'ila when this doesn't look like hektesh to him? To him, he could eat this loaf of bread. He could do whatever he wants this loaf of bread.
Well, if Yisrael were to eat basar chatas.
Yisrael to eat basar chatas. Yeah.
Is there a din of me'ila?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if,
yeah, but he's one who's restricted. That Yisrael right, may not eat the chatas.
I'm saying, that does Me'ila exist in a half usher case?
In a
half usher. So it's a valid question.
Right. So the mold note in alo asiria limo makabel. So now the receiver should be Me'ila. Yochol damar etera biiti isur lo baiti. When it gets in the loaf, he says, I would only accept something that is heter, not something that is asur. And I didn't know you handed me something asur, and I would never accepted it had I known it was asur. So why should he be moel? So Malay, Mikabel Ma'al. The receiver is Moel. Likishiyotzi, when he goes ahead and does something with it. Meaning that his simple receiving of it is not the Me'ila, because he can make that comment that I wanted it only if it was mutar. But once he uses it, once he does something with it, either eats it, sells it, does something with it, then he's Moel, even though he didn't know. Why? Shekola Motzi Ma'ot Hektesh Lechulin. Anybody who spends money of hektesh, even though he thinks they're chulin, it's still considered me'ila. So to this receiver, even though he thought it was chulin, he didn't know it was asur to him. Yet, nevertheless, when he spends it or uses it, it is considered to be me'ilah. So there are two important points from here. One is, this is a ran that we saw earlier. There was a machlokes, it was actually a gemara on Shabbos, it was a Shabbos daf, that the gemara on, earlier on, discussed whether a person who's madi or another, who violates lo yachel devaro, who violates the lav of nedarim. Is it the person who made the neder that violates it, if it's violated, or is the person who the neder is about that violates it? So the Rambam over there, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says that it's one who made the neder that is violates lo yachel devaro. And the Ran argued on him and said, no way. How could it be? He's not restricted. Why should he be also
with
the
pasuk?
What?
What's the beginning of the pasuk? Ki yidur lo yachel. Why am I assuming that second person, third person? Second person.
No, because yidur is when it's about himself. You could say lo yachel devaro, meaning that whoever the nether is about is lo yachel devaro.
Devaro can always refer to
the second person.
Why switch focus?
Lo yachel devaro is the one who took the nether.
He's saying the Rama makes sense, but why would
it's written as third person. Lo yachel devaro. It doesn't give you a subject over there. Who's the subject?
Why should I say lo yachel devaro? Why don't I say lo yachel devaro?
Because he's not doing it. Because if he's not answering, he's not violating. Right. Clearly there's a violation there. He's not doing it.
Devaro can mean, I'm sorry, devaro always means the one who took the neder. Lo yachel devaro, but who is the subject of lo yachel?
What I'm trying to say is that the Rama makes sense because you're not switching focus on
the subject. I mean the person, right? Although the fact that the pasuk says lo yachel already is in the third person, and then devaro refers back to the devar shel then noder, right? So the pasuk itself, it doesn't say.
Devar has to refer to the noder because he's the one. It's his words,
right? So the Rama, I'm saying the Rama says that. The Ran says, guess what? Our Gemara is a proof against the Rama. The Gemara automatically says Limel Notain. Let the Notain be the one who is Moel. Right?
And the answer is Lo Asirale.
He didn't Lo Asirale. He didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Right. So that's pretty
but
good.
That's a different halacha. That's Me'ila.
Very good. So that's right. That's what they answer up for the Rambam. Is that the Ran's proof is from Me'ila here. Even though it sounds like a great proof, the Ran, he writes it again, that it's a proof to his position. That the one who violates lo yachel devaro is the one who the mudar, the one who the neder is about. So it's a proof mirror from this case. You see, the Gemara rejected the fact that the noting could be doing anything wrong. Right? That it could be mal. The answer is like Tzvi's suggesting. Here we're questioning here about me'ila, versus a question about who's violating the neder. And that might be two different issues.
Right, but you can see the Ram's point also, though, because what we're constructing this parallel. You were saying that when someone makes a neder, it makes it like hekdesh. Right. So then it's like me'ila.
Right, the one who violates it will be, right. But that's the way the Rambam is going to get out of it, exactly. To be suggested here that the Gemara here doesn't directly say who violated the neder. The Gemara is in a backwards way saying that the one who's Moel, right, asking about me'ila. And that either might be unique to Konamot or it might be unique to me'ila. Okay, so that's a conclusion in the Inyan Halacha the Rambam brings over here that we paskin that there is me'ila b'konamot. One, because the Gemara here of Nachman was medayik from our Mishnah that there is Mila, like by Konamot, right? From the fact that it's a Tipol Hanala Hekdesh. And number two is that the Gemara in Shavuos actually flips their opinions. Rabbi Meir Rabbanan's opinion makes the Rabbanan the opinion of Yesh Mi'ila B'Konamot. So that would definitely give us the Pesach Halacha that way, that the Halacha is Yesh Mi'ila B'Konamot. Alright. Alright. New Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, it's not so new. The Mishnah continues what we had before. If someone who's mudar hanah from another person, what can he do for him? So we had a list of items. It can be meshiv avedoto, he can be poreach chovo, right? All the items we had before. Now it says betorei metrumato, you can take truma for him. Umasrotab, or is maisrot, ledato. Obviously it's ledato, we'll discuss, but maisrot and trumas can only be taken to das balabait. But he's allowed to take it, trumos and maestros off for him. If he's a kohen, in all these cases, he can bring the kinim. The kohen can perform the service for him in the Beit Hamikdash. If the Kohen is Mudar Hanah from this individual, he can still bring these individuals' karbanos on the Mizbeach.
All these cases are talking about where you're taking from the Mudar's possessions and doing it. It's not that
he's
not donating the Truma for him, or he's not taking from his own flock and giving the karbanos.
He could be from his own flock, he's giving the karbanos. Yeah, he's Makdish something, brings it to the base of Mikdash, and the Kohen is Makdish in the Mikdash for him.
No,
the Madir, is the Madir relinquishing his own property?
Yes.
He is.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. He takes his property, makdish it, and takes it up to Beis Mikdash, and the Kohen could be makdish. The Kohen is Mudar Hanah, could be makdish that Korban. That is the case. Why? That's the question. That's the Gemara we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. All right. Umalamdo Medrash, Halachot Vagodot. He can teach him Medrash, Halacha Nagada, Belo Yilamandenu Mikra. But he can't teach him Torah, Mikra. But he can teach his children mikra. Right, that we'll have to get to. That's not today's, but it's good issues in the Gemara about compensation for teaching. But that's not a little ways off. But today's daf is going to deal with Tzvi's question: is why can he bring his own possessions up to the Mikdash, be makdishim, and have the Kohen be makrivit? It's a famous question. Gemara in Kedushin asked the question: by the way, hani kohani shluchet didanavu or shluchet dishmaya? Are kohanim our messengers or Hashem's messengers? When the Kohanim function in the Mikdash, when you go up to bring your korban, is the Kohen functioning as your shliach? Meaning that we have to get a korban to Hashem, and he is an authorized shliach. Right? He's got the, authorized dealer. He's an authorized dealer, but he represents you. Meaning that he's an authorized dealer, but he's taking your korban and representing you and brings it to Hashem. Or, we say no, that they're not simply authorized dealers, but they are Hashem's messengers. And that you're giving it to the Kohen then is acting on behalf of Hashem and not on behalf of you. Gemara in Kedushin concludes that it has to be Shluchei D'Shemaya. Why? Because of a simple principle that if whatever you cannot do, your Shliach cannot do for you. Right, that's because in the Gemara in Kedushin is discussing Shlichus. Over there, the Gemara says that the ability to appoint a Shliach or have a Shliach function on your behalf is only when you yourself could have done it. Then you can have a Shliach be your proxy to do it. But over here, right, there is no way you could bring the korban. If you can't bring the korban, then the Kohen can't be acting on your behalf. So it must be that they are shluchei d'shmaya, that they are Hashem's shlichim. But the Gemara here says the ma'ayin nafkamina. The Gemara concludes otherwise. Here is a different way. The mudar anah, right? Someone who is restricted anah. I amar to shluchei didonav. Who, if they are messengers, hamahayle, then he is giving him an oath also. I amar shluchei d'shmaya. If they are Hashem's messengers, shari. So that answers your question. So why is there no problem with bringing stuff? Because it depends how the Kohen is functioning. My. Right? So what's the answer? Tashma from Mara. Right? It's not. Our mission says, Makriv lav kinei zavo. That it can be Makriv karbonos. Yeah, my shluchim didon kamahani lei. If they are our shluchim, why can he bring all these karbonos? So Mara says, you really think our mission is such a good raya? If our mission was such a good raya, believe to me, litnei makriv lav karbonot. Why did it enumerate all these karbanos? It enumerated just specific karbanos. Why did it make a general principle that it can be makriv karbanos? What was unique about these karbanos? It says, no, this is different. Why? Elemechuse kapara, shiny. Our mission is enumerating karbanos that are for mechuse kapara. Mechuse kapara are individuals who were tamei for whatever reason. Zav, zavo, yoledet. That were tamei for whatever reason, and they have waited their 7 days, and they are now tahor. On the 8th day, the Torah prescribes for them that they must bring a korban.
They also went to the mikvah. They also went to the mikvah.
They went to the mikvah. They waited 7 days, correct. Sorry. But I should have been more explicit. Then on the 8th day, they are chayav min haTorah to bring a korban. They're tahor already. They went to the mikvah, they had 7 days.
The only thing they're lacking is the korban.
The korban. So they are mutter, they are totally tahor, and they are able to eat maestros, they're able to eat shrumos, they're able to do anything that is requires tara, except, so that's what mechuse kapara prevents them from kodshim. Right? That's the last thing that they need in order to be mutter b'migdash, and mutter b'kodshim, they need to bring this korban on the 8th day. And therefore they are called mechuse kapara. They're missing this last leg. So now, these karbanos that we enumerate in the Mishnah are these types of karbanos. 8 day, mechusarei kapara. So the Gemara says about that, Ella, mechusarei kapara, shiny. They are different. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol tzrichim da'at, chutz mimchusarei kapara. So that a person, when you're bringing like a chatas, or you bring in a regular chatas, asham for a chait, you have to know which person, who you bring it for, which chait you're bringing it for. You have to know who the baal of the korban is. It means that you're really acting on behalf of the baal. Whereas by mechuserei kapara,
the Mishnah included chataot v'shamot.
Right, but those are the chataot of the kinim, meaning that the these kinim, right, one is chatas and one is an olam. Right, so that's those are included in the in those items. Now, so whereas when it comes to a regular korban for a chatas, there the you do not have to have the korban has to be mokrav, but you don't have to know, the baalim don't need to know about it. Since the baalim don't need to know about it, the kohen is not necessarily functioning on behalf of the bringer, because as long as it ends up on the mizbeach, it's okay. So therefore, the question is he really being mehana him or not? So that's the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is not a proof to that position, because it is mechuserei kapara, and mechuserei kapara are unique, right, in this situation that they don't need the asbalim. And you see that in... Alright, we'll see in a second. You know what, we'll go back to the Ron in a second. But let's just continue the Gemara. Shahari, adam may be karban albanav v'albanotav haketanim. First, you can bring a korban on behalf of his minor children. Shnemar zot torat. Right, zot torat hazav. Ben gadol uben katan. That the ribuy of torat hazav means even a gadol or a katan can have a korban rat. How can you bring a korban on behalf of a katan, even though the katan doesn't have da'at to bring it? That's because you don't these instances in mechuserei kapara, right? You don't need da'as follow. So therefore, a parent could bring it on their behalf, even though they are not aware or they're not a don't have da'as follow. So that's a proof that mechuserei kapara are different. But
you still have the problem that you talked about in kiddushin. That it's not yad. I mean,
right. That's a conclusion. The Gemara in Kiddushin. I'm saying the Gemara didn't
isn't addressing that.
It's not addressing it. The Gemara in Kiddushin answers it differently and comes up with a conclusion. Here, the Gemara, since we're in Nidarim, tries to use Nidarim as a proof. They try a different approach here, even though that's not sholol, does not change the proof that's brought in the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin happens to be the topic over there, shlichus. So Gemara uses a proof from Shlichus. So over here, our Gemara is talking about Hana, Mudar Hana. So Gemara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah about Mudar Hana.
And the proof was, the original proof was that it was Shluchei Shemaim that?
Because the fact that the Kohen can bring your Korbanos. Otherwise, he would be benefiting you.
Shliach.
If he was your Shliach, he'd be benefiting you. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, well, if that was really true, then why didn't the Mishnah just use the generic term Korbanos? The fact that it enumerates these types of Korbanos means that these must be unique. And what's unique about them is Mechuserei Kapara, that missing Da'at Balam.
And he's still benefiting you.
Oh, so that's what he says, but it's only a grama, right? It's only a grama in a sense. I mean that, because it doesn't really, when you don't need Da'as Balim, right? It's when you don't have Da'as Balim, the Hana is an indirect.
He's not doing it for you.
It's diluted. Right. I don't need Shlichus. You could do it for me, not as a Shlichus.
Right, exactly. He could go without my knowledge and bring the garban for me, and it's the result. Since there was a korban that was mukrav, therefore, by definition, right, there is no directed hana to me. There is groma, which is that I caused you hana. And this we said, what? That is only derech groma. Because you could ask the same question, even if the kohanim are shlichei the shemayin in who. So, in the end, your korban is end up in the mizbeach.
Right.
But, so we say that's groma. Exactly. Meaning that since he's not acting on your behalf, the fact that the result is that there is hana, that is groma. But then.
It's not the Kohen's animal, it's my animal, right? Because if it was the Kohen, Kohen's animal, right. I see Rashi says about when it says about Meiser, he says, even from my peros, even from his peros.
You're the Mudar's Hanoah's peros. You're allowed to be, the Meiser, you're allowed to separate out of the Mudar's. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, because I'll get into this case later on, but.
But right now, suppose I'm just doing I'm doing this service, and the question is, that service is it or not?
Right.
I'm not using my
asset. Earlier, this, like, my Ria Hari.
I was going to say, this is the Tosfos. I'm going to say that the Ran here sounds like the Tosfos in Ketubot that says that when you forget the loan, that is only Grama and Baalma. It's not a directed benefit because he can't act on your behalf. He's not. That's what Tosfos says there. He's not acting on your behalf. Right? You didn't send him to go pay off the loan. He goes on his own volition to pay off the loan. The result is you no longer own the money. But that is Grama Baalma. That's what the Tosfos suggested in Ketubot, right? That is, it's something that is a passive hanah, but he didn't act in your behalf. In that case, it's okay. That's what the Tosfos says. And the Ran sounds the same here. That when the hanah comes as an indirect benefit of an action you're taking and you didn't act on your behalf, that's okay.
That's not
the only problem is when you act on he's acting on your behalf, that's a hanah that's coming directly yashir from him, and that'll be a problem. Okay, so that's the Gemara's answer over here. Right, and the Ran points out that what these don't need das is because they don't come for kapara. Even though they're called mechusere kapara, they're not literally kapara because they didn't do anything.
Right,
even though the kinim are ola and achatas, right, they're not achatas. Even though the Gemara says by kine yoledet that the achatas is because, right? There are two opinions there, whether the achatas is really a... Right, is because the woman did something wrong or not, but the assumption is that no, that these by Azav, Zava, these aren't necessarily people who did something wrong, even though they're bringing it, achatas, so therefore these chataos, or these husarei kapara, are not really kapara. They're not for forgiveness, they're just to be matir them to the hekdesh, and therefore they don't require das balam. You need das balam is when there's kapara, when you're trying to direct forgiveness to a specific individual. Right. Now the Gemara says, challenges the proof that they brought from...
Or the refutation of the proof.
Right. Well, it's not, the proof is fine. The Gemara says, that's from Rabbi Yochanan's position. How does Rabbi Yochanan know that? He brought a proof from that a person can bring on behalf of his children, a korban. So it shows you that they don't need das because you can bring on behalf of your children. The Gemara says, well, where'd you...
That's really refuting the proof. Is that saying that there's no right from there that...
You'll see in a second. The Gemara is challenging his limud. Not that the underlying premise of what he's saying, but the Gemara is saying, well, if you're going to darshan zot tarat, what are you going to do with zot tarat ha-yoledet? Right, so the Gemara says, okay, Tani, if that's the case, of Me'atler of Yochanan, who thinks that you darshan zot tarat, what are you going to do with zot tarat ha-yoledet? Ben Ketano Ben Gdola. So you're going to darshan it the same way you said by Zav. Zot tarat ha-zav means a gadol and a katan. Right, so now you can suggest by Katana, Tana bat Leidahi. How are you going to explain this, right? Because a Yoledet Katana, how do you have a Yoledet Katana? By definition, a Katana is not a Yoledet. So why would she be bringing a Korban Yoledet? It says, Va'atani Rav Bibi Kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Bibi learned before Rav Nachman, Shlosh Nashim Mishamshot Memoch. Right, three women can use contraception, Katana, Umuberet, Umenika. Right, all of these are, there's a Sakana. By the fact that they get impregnated, a ketana who's impregnated would be a sakana to her. Muberet menika would, right, hurt the other baby that's involved here, and therefore would endanger the other baby. So ketana shemet sitaber b'tamut. Maybe she will get pregnant and die. So that you see what
she could
get pregnant. One is that she could get pregnant. You could have said that. The Gemara is really saying here is that you see that a yoledet could never give birth. Right, that's the point. Even though a ketana could be conceived. She could never give birth. Yeah, I mean, there would never be a case where you have to bring a chatos, because shema, if she gets impregnated, she will die. As a shema titaber, maybe she will get impregnated, vitamut, and she will die, right?
So you can ask another question. When in the Torah do you ever see that a non bar mitzvah brings a carbon?
Bring it on behalf. That's the whole point here. So Torah is that the...
When in Torah do you ever see the Gadol has to bring a carbon on behalf of a katan?
Whether they can. And, I mean, that's the question over here. Can they Gadol? That's Rabbi Yochanan's limud. But carbonos, you can bring a carbon. why can't you bring a nether and a
katan steals. The cotton, you know, shecht.
That's because it's not mechum. Right, there's not mechum be'onshin. Right, but here you have a separate issue, which is that you want him to be tamei and tahor. I mean, there is tuma and tahara by a cotton. And a cotton becomes tamei, and a cotton needs to be tahor. I mean, he's in a kohen's house. He wants to eat in his house. Now, he uses that. The cotton Hazav, he's Tomei. How is he going to get out of that Tumah?
Yes, the Mitzorah too. It's,
right, the Katzah can be a Mitzorah. These aren't issues of Chiyuv and Isser and Heter. By Isser and Heter, we say that there's no obligation, there's no Chayiv and Patur by a Katan. But the fact that there's Tumah and Tara, that exists by a Katan.
So is the God that would
have to bring a Korban on their behalf. I mean, or, right, the Mars Bears point is that because the God will bring it on his behalf, therefore the Katan can't have Das. We generally don't assume that a Katan has Das, or since the father can bring it, they're not going to have Das. They're not even going to know the father can bring it on his behalf. So now the question is, by Katana, you can't come up with a case where you have a Katana, you'll let it. What is Taras coming to include here? Right, so the Gemara answers up, Zilta Tarata Yoledet, Ben Pikechet, Ben Shota, B'Shota. Whether she is of sound mind or not of sound mind. Meaning that a husband can bring the Korban Yoledet on behalf of his wife, even without the Das of his wife. Whether his wife is lucid or not. Shekain, Adam Levi Korban, Alishto Shota, Kedibre Rabbi Yehuda. Because a person can bring a Korban for his wife, who is a shota, who's not of the capacity to bring a korban, kedibrei Rabbi Yehuda, like the position of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not really Rabbi Yehuda's position, it's just that Rabbi Yehuda's mentioned in the Braisa. It's everybody's position, it's just Rabbi Yehuda's mentioned here. The Tanya, a Braisa, could be a Mishnah, but it sounds like because there's the extra stuff at the end, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, and they're going that this is a Braisa. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam may be korban ashir, alishto. How do we assess, meaning that the korban yoledet is what's called an ole v'yoreit. Right? It's a korban that is income-based. Right? There's a fluctuating scale based on your wealth, maybe based on your income. So how do we determine the woman's income? The woman has no income, meaning that everything the woman owns belongs to her husband. So therefore, other may be korban ashir, other sure. Right. It's based on his status, meaning that it depends on the husband's income status. Will determine the level of korban that the woman brings. Now, the next line is what's important. B'chol karbanot shechayevet. He can bring any karbanot that she is obligated in. Shekach kotev la, because that's what he writes when he divorces her. B'chayot, de'islei chalai min kadamat dana. Right? That I am freed of all obligations or achrayut that I had for you prior to this. That's when he gets divorced. In the get, says all prior achrayut, right, I am now free of any of those obligations. What were those achrayut? What was the obligation? That the husband must bring the korban on behalf of his wife. So you see what? That a husband can bring a korban, or has the ability to bring the korban on behalf of his wife, even without his wife's knowledge, because it's his obligation. Right? Since it's his obligation, he can bring it, and his wife never needs to know. So that's the idea of pikechen and shota. Even when the woman's a shota, the husband can bring it on behalf of his wife, who's not, does not have the capacity to bring the korban, because a husband is the one who's obligated or has the achrayut, the obligation to bring it.
So therefore, those hold up, and if we could say that
right, then it's so taras by zav
because of katan stand up and chesed kapara, and then therefore
very good, exactly.
So why don't we say that over there? It also is talking about pikeach and not in shorter. Same we learned the other taras.
Taras zav.
Yeah, and not katan.
Not a katan. I think gadol katan would be the easier, right?
It's also, I think, the same thing, because what's the concern of gadol about that?
Right. I would say that's
sense.
Yeah. Right. I was either you could say that a katan, in general, you go gadol katan because it makes more sense. It's less of a chiddush to say a katan that you can bring on behalf of a katan, meaning that he does have some functioning capacity, right?
Even if Isha is not a katana, right? You have Isha who basically has the same shortcoming.
Right. So
as
then, like Shaul says, I think you could suggest that. The Gadol versus not Bardas. Gadol versus someone who can't do it themselves or does not have a chrayut themselves.
And those so, it says only on Zav. How do we know the other things in the Mishnah?
They all say Zotarat.
Oh,
it says Zotarat by all of these. So therefore, you could say that in each of these cases, you can bring up
you have no proof from our Mishnah for Shluchei.
Right, Shluchei Nidan, Shluchei Achmana. But in the end,
yes, it's over. Right. So far, we're saying there's no raya from our Mishnah.
It's unique.
Because it's
right.
It's right. Not, it's
it should
not
have said
since it's like a grammar, like you said.
Right. So the Gemara here tries to bring proof from our Mishnah over here, but fails to do it so far, and therefore we still have the Gemara Kedushin, which we mentioned that does hold up that you can't send make someone a shliach if you can't do it yourself.